B-Pod Studios.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
How are you?
Loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer came up to, when he was in studio last week, and he said, listen, I used to work at the NFL Network, and there's someone at the NFL Network who is obsessed with your show.
I think you're... kind of over.
No, that's what I heard.
Overselling.
I heard that. I was there. I heard that.
It's like this reporter, respected reporter, would give anything. It's truly a dream.
Just to be in the presence.
Well, they're not in the presence. Just on the phone, anything. like
she
a
podcasts
retweet.
It. She listens. She podcasts it every night.
Yes.
Listens back.
She's been to Europe and arranged her whole sleep schedule to get to listen to it live. the reporter's name is Kimberly Jones. She reports for the NFL Network. She is very knowledgeable of all things Jets and is a very lucky lady today. Kimberly Jones on the Volkswagen Experts Hotline. Your feelings at this moment?
It's the best day of my life. Other than Europe, you got it all right. You can call me Kim, please. It's easier. And I have to start by talking about your greatness. Because Brookline 911 is absolute genius, but I think you know that. I also have to go back to the Ray Lewis Hall of Fame speech, which I can't tell you how many flights I listened to that podcast on and cried to the point where people thought I was like a lunatic and I didn't care. That was so, so funny. And I was even excited when Bird just called me to get me on this station. And I said, Bird, I'm so excited. And he did not care at all. But I like the idea that you guys kind of, you know, understand my energy here. And at the 20, whatever the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, I almost said hello to you on Radio Row.
Good.
But
thank you for not doing
it. Yeah.
Well, so we were all so crammed together.
We were in the middle of our own problems.
You were like on top of each other. I didn't bother.
Yeah, you would have embarrassed yourself.
By the way, you said that Bird didn't think it was a big deal. Bird's face is like beet red right now. Like he is like,
excited to talk to Bird. He didn't care. I'm okay with that.
Oh, no, he did.
My doctor's office called on the line yesterday, and I picked up the phone, and they put him on the air. And then when I went in, the women that called in said, I don't know if it was Bird or Nick, but they were dumb.
Well, I certainly didn't say that.
No, of course.
I love Nick, too, and his dad, the whole recliner.
Oh, here we go. Big smile from Nick in the other room.
He loves it when you tell him that you love his dad.
I mean, that's the big...
He is not frustrated at all that his dad's a bigger star than he is.
But I did say Nick's name first, and I called him Nick's dad.
But yeah, that's right. So, but you immediately went to his dad. Which I'm sure he truly appreciates. I can tell with the look on his face right now.
Okay. I've also had heart surgery, so Nick and I are almost, you know, related somehow.
Yeah. Your story's crazy. Like, because I remember it now from, it was the beginning of this year, correct?
It was November of last year.
Okay, November of last year. Okay, so, I mean, that is something that made national news. It was a big deal. Can you kind of take us through what happened? You were at Redskins practice at the time, correct?
Rich.
That's a quick Google search.
Rich is a super fan of yours.
That's right. Right back at you.
Right, I'm sure, yes. November 15th last year, I was at the Redskins, was supposed to be in and out that day. Just a one-day trip. I had the game on Sunday, which would have been the Texans at the Redskins. I'm in the locker room. Everything's fine. I remember doing some interviews. And then I collapsed before my first live hit. To forward the story, it turns out I had an aortic dissection, which is where the layers of the aorta separate. If the aorta itself ruptures, you do die, and many people do die. I got incredibly lucky. Inova Fairfax is the hospital where I eventually ended up. And that's where I needed to be, where two wonderful surgeons, Drs. Spear and Ryan, did my surgery the next day and truly saved my life. So missed 46 days of work, came back on New Year's Eve, and, you know, it changes your life. Rich, you know, I mean, things, you know, things like this, not to trivialize it, but they change a little bit who you are and change your life a little bit.
Sure.
How much did the show have to do with your recovery?
A lot. I listen to you guys constantly. Sometimes I listen to a podcast twice, and then I'm like, you are in Loserville now because you actually already listened to
it. Bite your tongue. That's wrong.
You are not alone.
Bite your tongue.
And I suggest people listen to our podcast twice every single day.
I'm glad that we could help you on the road.
It was great. Really, it was.
Thank you. All right, Kim. I like the Jets Monday night.
You love Sam.
Listen, Sammy D's not only handsome, he's a heck of a guy. But I like them. I like C.J. Mosley being back. I like it's a division game. I like that it's on in prime time. I like that it's at home. It's a 10-point spread. Our gambling experts were in here, and Rich has money on the Jets. How do you look at this playing out? Is it ridiculous to think that this is going to be a close game and that the Jets might be able to win?
Well, Fred, I'll take you back to yesterday. I was at the Jets. We're standing there waiting to talk to Sam and Mosley, we thought, and, you know, a couple other guys, including Le'Veon, who I think is going to talk today. And Mosley steps to the I'll call it a podium in the locker room, and he answers a question or two, and then I kind of, you know, it's sometimes you don't hear every word, especially from a guy who doesn't project a lot. And I thought I heard him say, I'm playing Monday night. And a couple other reporters and I at the same time kind of said, what was that? And he just said, I'm playing Monday night. And I think that is, you know, next, because Sam's already back, that is an enormous boost for this team. Mosley's a really good player and has only played the one game, and he did have a, you know, a pick six in that game, you know, one of the very few touchdowns the Jets had scored before Sam came back last week. So he makes a big difference. I do think they're still deficient in some areas, including the offensive line. You know, the Patriots will figure something out there. But they beat up on the Dallas Cowboys with Le'Veon Bell contributing only 53 yards. And I have to believe if they can unlock that a little bit, then you're talking about an offense that really is a pretty high motor offense with weapons in every way, including the slot receiver, Jamison Crowder, who kind of reminds me of one of those guys that the Patriots always have, or more than one of those guys, in terms of being a reliable pass catcher. And his numbers went back up dramatically with Sam back. So, you know, that's my long way of saying, Fred, I agree with you. I mean, I do think close game, that I'd absolutely sign up for.
All right. So I've heard that Adam Gase is very happy with the amount of money he's made. He's not afraid to talk about it. And I was questioning if he had checked out when, what's his face?
Luke Falk
was quarterback. I don't even remember the guy's name. But Luke Falk was
quarterback. He's not in the league anymore, so you don't need to worry about it. I don't think so.
And so, but it seems like he was just holding back and waiting for Darnold to come back. What's your impression of Gase? And do you think that he's fully
invested?
Like fully on board with all of this?
Yes, I do think he's fully on board, but I'm not. I don't necessarily shy away from being critical of his approach during the time that they didn't have Sam.
Right.
Because I did think that it was a little bit of a woe is us type of mentality, which, you know, you guys know, you know, if that's going to start at the top, that doesn't give you much of a chance. And you could tell me they didn't have a chance, and it showed. Yeah. So I'm with you on all of that. I do think he has been incredibly complimentary, and he tells us why he's complimentary of Sam. It's not just I love my quarterback. It's the idea that Sam obviously has a quick release. He's very smart. He can move. He came back, Fred, and, you know, I'm sure that you saw the game. He came back and didn't look rusty at all.
Right.
Coming off mono. And if he had, we all would have said, well, at least he's back. And boy, they played pretty well against the Cowboys. I mean, he made some decisions in that game, including that 92-yarder to Robbie Anderson, that were really good decisions. You know, and in that case, you know, right after the defense made a big stop. He represents a lot to that team in terms of presence. And we did see why Sunday against the Cowboys. But I'm not immune. Like, I'm not against. I wouldn't tell you wrong about any of the Gase stuff, first and foremost. But as a human, I kind of understand it. I just don't think a head coach can get away with that.
Right.
And I think it's very, very good for Gase in particular that Sam's back as well.
Okay, Kim, Fred came in with a hot take flamethrower this morning.
Boom!
Whoa.
And he said that the take train was in full speed. He said that he believes that the Jets, if they beat the Patriots, they'll make the playoffs. Is that? I don't want to misquote you, Fred. You said that you believe that the Jets will make the playoffs. Was that with or without them beating the Patriots?
No, that was I think it was without, but with, I'll take with. I think
any way you slice it,
because of the schedule in front, and because Darnold in front of them after this game, and because Darnold looked so good last week.
And of course, we pretty much said that he was crazy. But you are the one who covers the team. Is there any merit to Fred's claim that he believes that the Jets will make the playoffs?
Well, if they do, there would be some sort of historic significance to a team starting 0-4 and making the playoffs. I will say that.
Yes, yes.
I also think, we generally discount the Bills, who, I've heard you guys talk about Josh Allen, who I really like. He's a really, really nice guy.
I'm sure
I really like Josh
Allen.
He's
simple.
He's great to his mom, Kim.
He's simple.
Doesn't matter on the field.
You ever read that book of Mice and Men? How many rabbits do you think Josh Allen has killed involuntarily?
While running for his life. Defense, Fred, because their defense is so good that when we talk playoffs, I mean, what if more than one team in the AFC East? What if two teams? I mean, is it possible? I think teams look when they still have Miami left on their schedule twice and believe that the win count's just going to go up by two there. Playoffs is going to be – they put themselves in – like I said, it would be a historic thing if at 0-4 they turn it around. I'm not saying they can't, but it would be highly unlikely.
Well, of course it's unlikely. That's why my take is out of sight.
That's right. That's true. That's who you are.
I mean, that's who I am. I'm not afraid to put it on the table.
Well, as we know.
All right. Yeah. If they beat the Patriots, I like them in every game outside of until they – I like them. They could win every single game.
Who are you looking at?
All right, baby. You want me to take this down for your Richie boy?
Let's go.
All right, so the Patriots, okay. Say they pull that off. Okay. That would be great.
Which, by the way, I do believe it's going to be a close game.
It's a 10-point spread. Say they lose.
Yeah.
Jaguars, Dolphins, Giants at home, Redskins, Raiders, Bengals at home, Dolphins, Ravens, Steelers, Bills.
I mean, that's an easy schedule.
As we all know, though, the Jets have been flawless when presented with situations like this.
I don't think the Raiders is a gimme. I obviously don't think the Ravens is a gimme. I think the Raiders are going to give him a hard time.
Not in Fredland, they don't.
That's why. I'm always positive. I'm always the grass is always greener with the Jets.
Right. But you're right. That is not a tough schedule.
It's not a murderer's run.
But neither is the Bills schedule. And there's a lack of a lot of other teams that are going to be tiptoeing through things.
Yeah, they don't got Sammy D.
So Kim, how many wins are we talking about here? Do you think?
I think 14 now.
Okay. In a 16-game schedule,
take back a couple of the losses. They're going to play.
Yeah, so you like them in the playoffs too. They're going to run the table in the playoffs.
I really do. I will say this to you, Fred. If you do meet Sam, you will like him even more than you do now. There's something about him. He just kind of has, and Gase has described it as, the guys want to be around him. He just kind of has this energy about him, if you will. He didn't use the word energy. I just did. But there's something about him. Actually, Gase called it swagger, a word I don't really love. But swagger where guys want to be, around Sam, want to play football with Sam, catch balls, footballs from Sam, that kind of thing. And there is something about Sam Darnold. It is sort of a franchise quarterback thing he has. And if you ever met him, you would like him even more, which might be scary.
Yeah, he's like a white Sherman Helmsley. I felt the same way about him.
What?
She wanted to. Kim, you love it. Kim, you love the show so much.
I couldn't even think of the word swagger. Well,
you were looking for someone with some swag. I mean, if you own a laundromat, I mean, you're going to make money.
Fred, you're producing shirts over. I need one to picture Sam Darnold says the white Sherman Helmsley.
He's moving on up.
I'm wearing that shirt in the game.
Kimberly Jones, we've kept you on past our when we were supposed to break, which is a gift towards you. Your feelings after being on the show?
Warm and fuzzy. Okay. I love it. Thank you.
Did it live up? It probably didn't live up to your expectations because it was so high.
It exceeded them. I'm thrilled. You guys truly are the best. I really, really enjoy you. And I love the podcast option, which everyone has, I know, but I love it. This is awesome. Thank you very much. And thank Albert, my buddy.
Yeah, Albert, there you go. Kim Jones, Kimberly Jones, whatever you want to call her. She's at the NFL Network. Her Twitter is @ Kim Jones Sports. Thank you so much for the time. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, Kim. All right, so there you go. Just dropped my mic down. I owe you all a story. I was at the. I talked about being at the doctor's, and I've been told that I don't follow through on these stories.
Okay.
So I will tell you about my experience at the doctor.
Your doctor even called us.
The doctor did not. The front desk did.
Yes.
This is the first time I had this doctor.
Yes.
And there was a lot of pressure put on me, and not taking no for an answer. But we'll get into it. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Stutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, it's showtime at DJ's. How about a great big round of applause?
Thanks for coming down tonight.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and yesterday was my first physical in 2 years. And I was very concerned about the digital prostate exam, which my wife thought the same thing as you two buffoons.
Yeah, you're digital. You think that, you know, you get digital thermometer, things like that.
Yeah, but also your digits are your fingers.
Yeah.
So what they do, ladies and gentlemen, when they do a digital prostate exam is they go in the caboose and then they start feeling around. So I don't want that. So we had a doctor that called it, and I had doctors email me, and they said that there's a lot of false positives. It can cause damage, mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of people aren't doing it. So you heard that the front office of the doctor's office called us.
Yep, on the air.
Purposely on the air. Mm-hmm. And they had heard that I didn't want the prostate exam. So I get in there, and when they call me in the back, the ladies in front, they say, we'll wait for it to hear you scream. And they were making prostate exam jokes. So I go in there, and I am not obese.
That's good.
They said, you know what?
Were you obese before?
No.
Okay.
But they said, could you lose 40 pounds? And I said, that would put me at 180, and I'm 6'2 and 2 tenths. I will never weigh 180, my friends.
So
I would have to change my life. I would just be miserable.
180 is the ideal weight for someone who's 6'2?
And 2 tenths. Yes, that is what they said. They said 180.
Seems awfully skinny.
Yes. At one point, I weighed 160 when I knew you and neither of us had money.
Yes.
Because that was
we weren't eating.
That was from a lack of eating.
And lack of drinking as much as we wanted to, too.
Yeah, I probably figured that out. But nonetheless, so I go in and there's questions, blah, 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 blah. Then the guy goes, I heard, like, he's like, let's talk about the digital prostate exam. I said, no. And then he goes, well, I heard, you know, about the radio and that you don't want it. And then he goes into like this hard sell. And I go, I heard about, and he goes, false positives and this and that. And you can do a blood test. I said, oh, yes, you can do a blood test. I go, I don't want this. He goes, well, as a doctor, I'm responsible to tell you these things. And I'm like, this guy wants to do this.
He's all in. He's been cracking his knuckles.
I'm like, this guy's got the T.
He's been snapping that glove over his fingers over and over.
He goes, I heard they call you slippery T. Let's test it. But he's really putting the pressure on me, and I ain't backing down.
Okay, so but now what did he say about this shot that you could, or the blood draw you could take?
When they can test your blood for something that has like a 40-something percent accuracy rate.
But a finger is way more accurate than that?
No. Well, the problem with the finger is that often, in fact, here's the deal. Like 9 out of 10 people die with prostate cancer, not die from it.
Yeah, once you die.
No. That you die of something else, but you have prostate. They don't test you after 70 because they just assume you have prostate cancer.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I know that isn't that one of the deadliest cancers you can get? Like, if it's in your prostate, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's something that they can take care of. Now, okay. It's not pleasant. It can be, you know, you could lose your ability to have erections and things like that. But when they say that prostate cancer is like this huge cause of death, it's kind of like a spin on it that's not necessarily true. A lot of people die with prostate cancer, but not because of prostate cancer.
Okay.
Especially as you grow older. Like, chances are you're going to have it is what I understand. So, and if I'm wrong, feel free to call in. And he's saying this, and he's saying false positives in that, you know, and then you do a bunch of procedures that can cause damage because you're rooting around back there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want that. And I go, baby, I ain't doing this. And he's like, well, let me continue. And I say, I'm not doing this. I won't do it. I go, if you really want to do it, like, tell me and I'll come in next year and you can hit me in the head with a hammer and root around there as long as you want.
Yeah, knock me out.
Like, yeah, you're giving me fentanyl. Like, if I'm doing this, I want the hardest narcotic that you have. Like, just give me fentanyl.
And so?
And so I just said, no. I said, you will not do that to me.
And there was no blood draw or anything? That was just the end of it?
No. I will get to that. Okay. Dennis, go ahead.
Listen, the prostate exam isn't all that bad. It's when you have to have the prostate biopsy.
That's the thing.
When they insert, this is when they insert a little razor blade up there, and they take 12 samples of your prostate out to examine. It feels like someone's taking their finger and flicking your nuts 12 times.
Okay, well, that happened to me yesterday. But I will tell you this. Is that's the problem with the digital exam is because there's false positives, and then they start going in there and taking stuff out of you with razor blades and what have you, which sounds like, doesn't that sound like when they leached people in the Middle Ages?
Sure, it's very archaic. I can't get over that guy.
Yeah. So you said, it feels like they're flicking your balls. So yes, they did withdraw blood because they got to check my liver to see if I destroyed it.
Right.
And they got to check all these things. But then he goes, I'm never letting this guy do a prostate exam on me. Never.
Because he's too excited about it?
Every doctor's going to be excited.
Curious about being gung-ho about the procedure.
I mean, my butt is delightful. I mean, it's the one part of my body that don't quit.
Oh, by the way, I'm being corrected, and they're exactly right. I'm thinking pancreatic cancer. That's the one that's really bad.
Oh, yeah,
Prostate is bad but treatable. That's right.
Yes, exactly. Okay, yeah, pancreatic cancer. But there are studies, like, a lot of people die with prostate cancer. So that's a thing.
Okay.
All right, but it's not good. You could lose your ability to have an erection. It can screw up your urination, all these things. So, and then the guy's like, do you mind if I, do you check your testicles? Yeah, like, I grab my balls. He goes, no, do you check them? Now, when the doctor gives you a testicular cancer exam, how long are they down there?
For me, it was maybe 5 seconds. It was quick. 5-10 seconds.
Less than 10.
Yeah.
Less than 10.
Yes. Guess how long my doctor felt.
30. I'm going to say 30 the way you're setting this up.
More than that.
Really?
How long?
I was up on one, my tippy toes of my right leg, and I looked at my phone.
Okay, so you said, I'm going to make sure, keep this guy honest, that he's not enjoying himself too much.
Skibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibbity-bibb
be more.
Why didn't you pull up your pants and start running from the room?
Because then he was like, you got to hold the thing up. Like, he's like, drop your pants. And that, and he's in there. And there, and I'll tell you what. I looked like a toddler. If there was a way.
There was a light that needed to be turned on somewhere.
If there was an inverse erection, that was happening.
You're turtled, is what you're saying.
I went back to the womb.
Oh, man.
I was a newly born baby boy. The whole thing, if you put everything together, an inch total, including everything underneath.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, really? Oh, but you go into protective mode. You're like a porcupine.
It went into your neck.
Yeah, oh. you go like you're like a turtle. You everything clenches up. I mean, you could have cracked an egg on my sack. I mean, everything together. I'm nothing to talk about, but it looked like I had been. I mean, it was so uncomfortable. He's like in like where like the sockets. The sockets. And, like,
I imagine it took so long because you ever like when cassettes were still around when all the tape would come out and you'd have to grab it and just try to put it back.
Right.
In.
Yeah.
I think that was his
like. I don't
situation.
Like when girls are rooting around down there. I don't find that. I don't find that arousing.
Okay.
I mean, it was so uncomfortable, and I kept. Dude, it was taking so long, I pressed my phone to see what time it was.
Oh, my God.
And started going.
That's a
10-second thing.
Why did he explain why it took so long?
He said they should feel like two hard-boiled eggs outside of the shell.
Okay.
But I mean, I went into a protective mode. Right, I was a hermit crab.
Are we finding a different doctor next time around?
No, but can you imagine if he spent over 2 minutes on my nuts? What's going to happen if he does the digital exam?
Oh, man, that's going to be like a nice little breezy vacation.
He's going to have to hit you in the head. Is what he's going to have to do.
Put on
I'm not going to let him do that.
No, you have a phobia to begin with, which is completely understandable. I would not let him.
Like you need the quickest finger in the West.
Yes.
You need someone who just gets in and gets out.
Yeah.
Feel one side, feel the other side.
Right. Like I'll let him do like the whole thing, and then they got to bring in a closer.
Right.
Guy with like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right. So who knows? It's almost like he was never there.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's a ghost.
Yeah. He's like yeah.
Jeez.
And I said because I got to get a colonoscopy because of the colon cancer in my family, and got to get a colonoscopy next year. And I'm like, well, when they're in there, can't they just root around and do whatever?
Well, I'm out.
Yeah. And he's like, no, they don't do that.
Doc Flynn chiming in saying, believe me, Fred, he wasn't dying to do it, I promise.
It doesn't matter.
Who's Doc Flynn?
Doc Flynn, she does the
She works for the Boston Sports Journal.
Yeah, yeah,
She's one of the people that like analyzes injuries in real time. She talks about sports industries.
Is this an attack on my looks?
No.
She's saying that no doctor wants to do that.
Oh, the prostate exam.
Yes, yes.
Ask her, tweet Rich if it's even necessary.
Like to...
get a digital exam.
I mean, everyone seems to think that...
If she answers back no, I'm going to be really pissed.
I read 45 is one school of thought. And then I heard 50 if you have no one in your family with any that's never had prostate cancer.
Right.
I heard 50.
My first one was 50.
Okay. That seems fairly reasonable.
Yes.
People have been trying to give me prostate exams since I was in my 30s.
And do you have a history?
No. I do polyps in the colon.
Right.
So I understand that.
Okay.
So it says the bankroll boy shooting over under on how long the doc is down there for the prostate exam.
I'll hit him in the face. Right? Like, I swear to God I'll hit him in the face. I swear, and I'm not being tough, and I'm not kidding. If with my crap with that stuff... If he was in there, I'd hit him in the face.
Just a reaction. Like, it would just trigger you.
Like, you're violating me. This is going on for far too long, and I'm getting out of here.
So, what's the plan? He says you got to come in. You got to come in. I mean, this is something you just can't avoid it. Now, you're joking, saying, hit me in the head. They're not going to do that.
No, I don't have to get it done.
They're not going to give you fentanyl to go in and have a prostate exam. Responsible doctor would do that.
Why not?
Because fentanyl's fentanyl. I mean, that's a big deal. There's cancer patients that don't take fentanyl.
This isn't something that that is just a couple Xanaxes are going to take care of.
I don't think that, like, they're real, like trick. It's real tricky them getting drugs nowadays to, like, numb people on procedures. Like, there's a lot of, because of all the opioid stuff, you really, really gotta have something bad happen to get something strong.
All you need is a good doctor. A cool one. Listen, I'm never gonna...
it's me, cool doctor.
Yeah, like, someone who's like, hey, what do you want? A little fentanyl? All right, we'll go to Bill and then we'll break. I know, Mike, I've been off time all day, but what are we gonna do about it? You're leaving. Bill, go ahead.
Oh, guys, what did you do? You brought, like, recall back to me this morning. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm sweating. I'm like, what did you guys do this morning? About 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago, I got what I call hosed. So, you know, the preparation is the worst. It's so humiliating. You run into the toilet every 10 minutes. But the next day when I'm pretty blessed. I'm a halfway decent, well-known chef down here. So you walk in, hey, how you doing? After the procedure, they blow up your lower intestines with air. So the nurses are come, hey, how you doing? Oh, good, because all the air's coming out.
Is that colonoscopy you're talking about?
Yeah. Why did you guys talk about this? Like, 2 days in a row.
It's bringing it back.
2 days in a row.
These are important issues for men that you have to advocate for yourself.
Dude, I couldn't eat for 2.5 days. 2.5 days I couldn't eat because they were like, oh, would you like to come back? I'm blowing farts all over the place. Really humiliating.
Awesome. All right.
It's a lot of fun.
By the way, hearing the word fart said with a thick South Boston accent's the greatest thing ever.
Well, listen.
Blowing fats all over the place.
Google it. You have to advocate for yourself. I've read that, too. You go in there, and you're the patient. You have to advocate for yourself. There's too much funny business with that. I don't like it, and I don't like having my balls tested for that long.
That is gratuitous. I mean, that is...
Better safe than sorry, I suppose.
I guess so.
But...
Was he talking to you?
Like, I don't know if I could have peed without getting it on myself.
Without it going into your belly button?
Oh, no. No. Catching some of my scrotum. Like, I don't know. It was a situation where I don't know if I could have urinated without hitting something directly under me.
Understood.
I mean, we're not talking about measuring in inches.
Right. Sure.
Like, a ruler is of no point.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it basically went from an elephant trunk to an acorn.
On a good day. A tattack. All right, very good. Every doctor, you know I'm right. We'll be back. What are we going to talk about in the old Stack-a-Rooney?
South Park takes on LeBron James. Ever timely, South Park. Getting stuff done with a day's notice.
All right, so we'll have that for you.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
South Park has been on for 23 seasons.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And last night, they proved once again that they are able to turn stories around almost instantly. I'll never forget the first time I was in awe of how they did that was after one of the elections. I think the Obama one. And it immediately, it was the next day, they had lines from the actual speeches in their cartoon.
Well, the Trump win screwed them up because they had a whole episode that was going to be about Clinton winning. And then at the last, like, legit, like, I think that because it's on Wednesdays and the election's a Tuesday, right?
Yep.
So they had to, like, scramble
and completely change the storyline.
They couldn't just redo the episode, but they had to, like, tweak some things, and that, like, really put them behind the eight ball.
Well, South Park took a shot at LeBron James over China last night. There was
They've been very China-heavy this season.
Well, they have because, I mean, they were banned in China because of an episode that they had earlier this season, and so this time they went all in. And apparently this episode was about Cartman was upset that they were changing the menu.
Yes, I've seen they changed the menu to vegan or healthy, and he had a heart attack when he found out.
Their protesting is ruining my lunch.
We have a right to free speech.
Yes, we do all have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
Whoa, 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 what's going on, kids?
The protesters are trying to kill Eric again, Mr. Mackey.
Okay, kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
They're trying to change people's lunch. They don't realize it harms people financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Eric, it's okay. We aren't going to change the school menu, okay? Everything's fine.
That's not fair.
Taking the words right out of LeBron James's mouth and putting him in Cartman. So yeah, congratulations to them.
If you want to see something, I know you guys don't really watch Jersey Shore. I watch it every day. Watch the episode where they discover the Snooki.
It's the Snooki?
And it's like this monster that has like a cocktail in one hand and pickles in the other.
No.
And they're like, what is it? It's a Snooki. He's like, what'd she say? Smush, smush, smush!
That show is like a band where I'll rediscover South Park after taking a 2-year hiatus, maybe sometimes even 3 years, and then I'll be like, oh my God, why have I been watching this? And then I'll just forget about it for 2 to 3 years. So maybe I need to go back. I think the last time I was in was the whole one when they were converting South Park and they're gentrifying it to Soda Sopa.
Yes, yes.
Which was a pretty, that was the one with the principal, PC principal, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a pretty good season.
Because now Kyle lives at, in the marijuana farm.
Oh, really?
Yes. Stan lives at his dad. What's his dad's name? Marsh?
Stan Marsh.
Yeah, he has a marijuana farm.
Oh, okay.
And Tally is his partner.
Oh, very nice. Well,
my smush!
Speaking of the whole China deal and LeBron James, in a recent interview with Good Morning America, Adam Silver was on there, and he said that the Chinese government requested to him to fire Daryl Morey for shooting out that tweet. What's that?
I know someone who would have done it.
Yeah, you're probably right. He said, quote,
probably.
We made it clear that we were being asked to fire him by the Chinese government, by the parties that we dealt with, government and business. We said there's no chance of that happening. There's no chance we'll even discipline him. Man, that's just one tweet. One tweet. And it got the government of China so pissed off that they requested Adam Silver to be fired. Yeah. So
Good Twitter friends. Is a bad place.
It's very strange.
You put weird stuff up there and wrong stuff up there and confuse a lot of stupid people.
Well, speaking of the NBA and their GMs, we had another one of those beginning of the year GM surveys that the NBA cranks out, and it's anonymous, and all the different GMs answer certain questions like which team will win the NBA Finals. First place, John?
Clippers.
Yeah, the Clippers. Second, the Bucks. And then third, the Lakers. I think the Lakers are going to be a disappointment. I don't think LeBron James is in at all. And then they took a survey as what do they think the best teams in the Eastern Conference was. Fred, would you like to guess?
The Orlando Magic.
They are actually on this top eight. They're number eight, yeah. Believe it or not.
That's because of one young man who's going to take off this year.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tell him.
Oh, Jonathan Isaac. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. I thought that was, you know, we've talked about him so much and his, but you know, pending stardom. I thought everyone in the room already knew that.
Do you know who his dad was? He was a bartender on the Love Boat.
Isaac.
Yep.
Huh. See, I would think it would be the first name of Isaac, not the last
name. No, his name is,
Isaac. Isaac? Was that his name?
No, I think Isaac was. I just
saw the Pointer Sisters episode when they sung He's So Shy. You know, Isaac, bartender.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a big star, but the Pointer Sisters stole the show and is, you know, wound up being a bartender back on the boat again.
You know what the Pointer Sisters had going for them? Looks.
Do you remember when they had one Pointer Sister singing the national
Ruth.
Anthem?
Yes. Yeah. Ruth Pointer.
Good old Ruthie.
Yeah.
Well, Milwaukee was rated as first, Philadelphia second, and then Boston in third, which sounds about right. I think I predicted every single one of those in order.
I set them up, and Rich knocked them down. He got all eight in a row.
And Fred, you're not going to like this. Which player is most likely to have a breakout season in 2019-2020? First place, De'Aaron Fox of Sacramento. Second place,
Jonathan Isaac.
Nope, Jaren Jackson of Memphis. And in third place, Jason Tatum. Actually, tied for second. Jason Tatum right there. They think
Jaren
that he's
Jackson, Michigan State product.
I think the most telling thing, or I guess just the way that, boy, people's opinions have changed after last year. How about who is the best coach in the league? Brad Stevens last year was in first place with 47%. This year, he didn't get a vote.
Oof.
Number one, Greg Popovich. Then it goes Eric Spoelstra with 17%. Mike Budenholzer with 10%. Steve Kerr with 7%. And said also receiving votes, Steve Clifford, Orlando, Doc Rivers, L.A., and Quinn Snyder of Utah. Brad Stevens, after being in first place last year, got no votes from the GMs around the league as the best coach.
Quinn Snyder hanging around after all the controversy in college.
Utah's been real good since he's been a head coach.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Done a lot with a little.
Yeah.
And Fred, maybe this is good news for you, seeing that you suffered so much having the Shrivel Fest 2019 yesterday. Mm. New England can expect a milder season than normal this winter, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Yes. Warmer than average temperatures are predicted for much of the U.S., including New England this winter. So it should be fairly mild, if you believe.
When the sun goes down at 3:45, you'll be enjoying a nice temperature.
Yep, 22 degrees instead of 15.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't get that cold here compared to the Midwest. It's all right. It's more of the manic, or the not manic, it's more of the crushing depression that comes when the sun goes down at 4.
Yeah, winter sucks.
It's not fun.
There's nothing like dropping one of your kids off at an activity at 5 o'clock when it's pitch black.
Yeah.
Really gets the old wheels spinning. All right, well, let's quickly break, and then when we come back, we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich.
Sorry.
Now, Scott, have you ever gotten a prostate exam?
No.
Yeah. You don't go to a doctor.
No, I'm going to go. Yeah. You make me not want to go.
It's not that bad. It stinks. It's not fun.
It's the anxiety
but it's, dude, it's done in a
it's
couple
like,
of seconds.
Here comes a finger.
If you have a good doctor, he's done it 1,000 times, and he knows how to kind of talk you through things. He's not going to go, okay, get ready. This is really going to be bad.
How far do you bend over?
You just kind of stand there.
It's like I think maybe you put your elbows on the exam table.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, you're an L.
Yeah, that's right. That's you're thinking right. That's what happens.
And it's over in no time.
I think Fred has done more today to actually further the cause. You think you're like, oh, he's going to scare people. No, people are going to hear that and say, it can't be as bad as Fred is making it.
Well, that's my intention is I'm here to advocate for
prostate exams. People are going to hear you and say,
are you doing live reads for him?
Yeah, it's the prostate council. I'm getting 500 to read.
No.
Who was it that we had on with this at the Super Bowl? We talked about it a couple of times. The Hall of Famer. This whole thing was like,
well, prostate Hall of Famer. I don't know.
The offensive line coach for the Browns?
No.
You can root around me if you want to.
Who was it?
Dr. Oz.
Don't shoot.
Yeah. Dr. Oz.
Yeah, that's right. We had a Dr. Oz.
Yeah, Dr. Oz.
He's not a Hall of
Famer. Dr. Oz is a Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall of Famer. Not a football Hall of Famer.
Mike Haynes. He is the big
Mike Haynes.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good looking dude.
Mike Haynes? What, are you going to a Hurricane game?
Fred. Oh, my God. You wouldn't know it's Friday. You're still throwing fastballs.
Why don't you go home with stupid takes?
97. Lots of movement.
I'm playing golf with Jaffe today.
Stupid show. Oh, it's nice out. Good luck finding your ball under all those leaves.
Burn.
As opposed to normally when it's super easy.
Napkin on your lap. You just got served.
Yeah. Why don't you leave? Make like a tree.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.